I like you, too.
Kill Uriteal. What date? And et cetera. It's what?
Ha, ha, ha.
Going the wrong way on the track. June 4, 8014, St. Hill Special Briefing, of course. And we have some new students amongst us. Been here a bit, but I haven't had a chance to introduce you. So stand up and take a bow. Leon Steinberg. Not here? Somebody fooled me. Cut it off the tape. All right. Kay Geese. Ed Hampson. Stanley Knock. Nash. And Reg Farnham. And here are a few old-timers back to see us. Joe Von Staden. And Bob Waters. And John Fudge. And Millie Galusha. And John himself, Galusha. And Gene Reeve.
There we are. Now, we're getting extremely and very...
complex here today. And this is a very high-scale lecture.
It has no value in a central organization. I don't know what to do with it.
Right, after being hi-hat.
One of the first things I can tell you about learning to do level six is you have to be perfect on all the fundamentals and essentials. So many other things come up to distract you. You see that? Now, if you know how to drive a car, you can go down the road very nicely. And as long as you don't have something to do besides driving a car, you're all right. But supposing your car driving is at a level where you were operating at a total margin. You're operating at everything invested, all attention invested in you turn these wheels, you shift from here to here, you let out the clutch from him, or you turn it over to low drive or high drive. Now, I turn the wheel to go around the corner. All that good. Now, I put on the brake to come up to the crossing sign. Oh, nice, I've done that very well. Now, that kind of car driving probably could get most anybody by until that 10-ton lorry swings out from the side road. And that sort of car driving is not up to the sudden and inexplicable appearance of that lorry. Well, you know, you have to be able, at that split instant, to drive that car in all of its fundamentals with a totality sufficiently good to permit your whole attention to be on the emergency attack. I remember having this happen to me once. I was driving a light on. And, all of a sudden, came around a corner, down the tree. A huge fuel truck was coming over the lip of a hill in front of me, very, very fast. High tension wires were spread across the whole top of the tree. And there was just room there to stick the underneath the tree to let it come to gentle rest from 60 miles an hour, full 15 feet away. Well, the first place, you start going at that rate of speed on a wet road, and you decide you're going to stop your car in something on the order of about 15 feet and stick its nose in an exact hole that will exactly fit the nose of the car, this would be quite a feat of driving. Now add to that, how do we also miss the high tension wire? You see. Now add to that, how do we exactly gauge the oncoming rush of the truck in time to exactly perform this action to cause a skid off the rear of the car after its nose is in the bottom to get it that extra foot away from the truck? Well, that would be an easy to drive on the top. Let me tell you,
I did. Sure enough.
But the point I'm making here is, if this had been a situation where I was still at the driving stage, where I was saying, now I turn the wheel. Now I reach for the gear shift lever. This is the clutch. You understand? I'm operating on no margin. There's no margin of training, so therefore you can't handle the situation which comes up. That's kind of an odd thing. And that's why you were here to run level 6, not in North Peoria. Okay? Not really, but it's terribly difficult to run. But it itself requires handling. And you've got no time while you're running level 6 to wish you had done your leadership drills better, because where is the sensitivity now? You understand? Let's take it easy. You've got to be able to handle or drive an oddity session with a total relaxation at the level of really not doing anything. And if you sit in an audience session at a perfectly tension, doing it so, you're not even got a meter to worry about. And you're sitting there doing it so. I believe it's just now. He goes on talking. I wonder if I acknowledge at this point. Do I not point to him? Not likely. I'll wait a minute. That kind of audit is perfectly all right in a play, which is way back. But it's not all right in a play. You got no time to be worrying about how you acknowledge. With this liability, if the DC isn't properly and exactly textbook acknowledged at that particular point where he should be, you got a roaring ARC brake on your hands, which is much greater in volume than it ever would have been at the lower levels. And yet at this point, you have no time to be saying, do I acknowledge sincere or do I wait? No, you gotta have that. That's all gotta be in high gear and on total practice. That's just something to do. You actually got to be in a position where getting an auditing session at a lower level of audit is about as much concern to you as drinking a cup of coffee. The difference between them. Oh, find this in yourself after you've piloted through. Drop that after you have run high tension stuff like this. To suddenly drop that, it's just about the same sensation as having suddenly stepped out of an Indianapolis racer and driving home on a totally empty freeway about dawn with nobody inside but an old lady's car. She's leaning against the window, you know? one finger on the wheel.
Nothing for that.
Yet to any observer, you would probably be getting very alert, emphasis, high key specialist. And right away, my knees are down. But let me tell you, sometimes, by my family, I'm fine. Some of them are nagging, a little bit too persistent. And some of them with the wildest abandonment of a very small number. Now, relegated to one, well, they're only about three. We'll go on past the lost feet and knees. Start the engine automatically, just go forward. Says we go forward, so we go forward, so we're going forward. There's no perception that they haven't left a certain point yet. They're in a state here where they're not integrated as precisely what they're getting. Your auditing in general, however, is getting them by. Say, quite injured. Your auditing is quite up to. And the only thing that we have in the cover there. Which is a decision. That's a kind of problem. It's gone over all the course. No damn Bedford lorries that keep swinging into the middle of a highway and on a greasy pavement here from all different ends. And that would be all right, but what the hell is the helicopter doing on the roof, you know? That's about where they sit. So, This is a happy moment for you. And therefore, what I say about their very weaknesses, what I post about their weaknesses, nothing to do with their weaknesses. It's just showing what has a tendency to slightly worry. And I had some, what I did, I just gave them what I had and let them struggle with it without writing up, you know, the rest. Let them struggle with it and let them run a couple of days for glory. So if they're in real, wild, dangerous, crazy drivers, I'll just kill them. I just let them have that and then went ahead and flat out and checked out all the other things. All right, that's very interesting. Because it showed up. Show that very and very well done. All done. Do damn well at well. Long night. Second night. Long morning. Long night. There they were. That's right. It's new to be here. And I'll move this first. And only one took off in the soaring plane and flew and flew and flew and wound up down the bank several hundred GPM. And then that wouldn't have been said. I wouldn't have missed this great experiment. They hadn't very much decided to not come in to start the action. So they were there to go on spinning that. An error. Anything the cycle of action of an error is something like saying the wrong side won the Phoenician war, so we've now got to go back and refight it. The war was a mistake in the first place. Well, we can't finish the cycle of action on mistakes. I don't know how anybody could do that. The PC, of course, gets a knuckle wrap in this because you, as a PC, are sick. Mustn't do wrong. You see that? very hard to be easy on. There's always an ass moving in on you. And it's moving in on your left, right, center, and so forth. And it's your duty to keep the auditor from making mistakes. And there you are, drowning in the middle of the charge. You can't. And yet you know the auditor sees something. Sometimes it takes half an hour or so to struggle up through the morass and point it out. But it's your responsibility to do so. That's an odd point. So it's a different kind of teaching. So what they haven't learned yet is how to teach you. It's a brand new look. And R4, you should learn what the auditor run looks like. Happy, happy days of irresponsibility, you know. Well, I got friend on the Rio Mio. Oh, I must have friend on Paul Rio Mio. Well, don't feece that way at R6. Sorry, don't feece that way at R6. It took me ages to learn it as feece. I thought I was just happy, you know, getting some bad audits, so I had to keep the phrase. Well, you can't listen to the call as well as you can. And he also mustn't let you make mistakes, because it's easy. You can make some of the wildest mistakes. If left to estimate where you were and what your case was doing at any particular exact moment, you'd probably make a horrendous error. You'd say, well, we've got to go back four pairs and correct those two items up there. When, as a matter of fact, your eye slips on the plot and you skip the item one back. You understand? A PC doesn't really think right. But a PC still must not let the auditor make mistakes. You understand? It's a PC responsibility. So you've got to take the responsibility of the PC. It took me a long time to learn it. But I finally, the run got pretty smooth. The only way that it louts up is when the auditor, mistakenly or otherwise, is trying to put the thing over the jump in a direction where it wouldn't go, and then wouldn't hear that it was going in a direction where it wouldn't go. And at that moment, you would get a tremendous bang. Then, only then, you'd really get the way RC plays forward. The auditor's trying to put it in a direction it wouldn't go. PC's trying to say it won't go in that direction, and it wouldn't. Then, therefore, the auditor's wrong. PC probably has the wrong reason why it won't go in that direction. But he just knows it won't go in that direction. He's got the wrong reason. The auditor's doing something wrong. So two wrongs don't make an ARC breakless second. And that's about the only time it starts blowing up. But with PC taking responsibility for what happened and what the sequence is and where it's going, all right, I could give you, with PC taking some responsibility, you know, why then you run, otherwise PC thinks you're right. Just neglects to mention, oh, the heat has been off on the last six items. Oh, this should happen to me. See, how you've been looking at PC and the tough heat was on and everything was going along fine and the heater was green and getting our flow down. We noticed that it was a little tighter than it should be, but we weren't worrying because everything seemed to be all right. We noticed that it was kind of running into a hole a little bit. And then, about six items ago, the heat turned off and I forgot to say. Don't you? PC keeps checking his good indicators. PC all of a sudden says, hey, I haven't had a cognition for the last half bank. Hey. Oh, it says, thank God you haven't, have you?
That's right.
Well, what happened?
I don't know. Let's take a look at what happened.
But when he called it, he made a flop. He said it was the eighth from the top when it was the third from the top, and nobody noticed. But they were running bank A, and then imperceptibly started to run bank C by the PC making an error and calling the next item. See, they're running go to spit, and the next one in line is cough, and the PC has got a pack on the track for some time in a minute, and all of a sudden says, to cough lightly or something. come out. And citizens kept on here. And the army said, no, it's just so fun. He looked at the record in front of him and find out he's been changed to Paul Piper. And right above it, it says to sit like this. To sit at all should have the next item, to sit lightly. And he's got to sit at all immediately followed by to cough lightly. And very often you can find he gets caught off base once in a thousand. Yeah, you know, there's a chance in a thousand that this will happen. It's very slight. And you get sometimes upset about a few between seconds. Another time you get a loud one. PC comes in, well, I'm already running the next item. So forth. And he says, all right, here it is. And I've been holding on to it and suppressing it like that. And you're all, you know, you get in the groove, so forth. PC says, cough lightly. Write it down, cough lightly. What the hell's the matter with the meeting?
I'm getting eight inch itemized.
I think it's likely that we know they have to run a dial on it. Seems
to be very clear. What is this?
He says, out! You say, what's the matter?
So here we go. Well, now, you're not trying to find the PCs there, the bank there. You're trying to find out what error exists. You can sometimes be led on the wildest goose chase you ever heard of, because this is what it's going to be if you miss the goal. But I skipped the GPM. Oh, my God, there's no GPM. The right line is wrong. Yeah, things are wrong. It's wrong. Let's straighten it out. Let's straighten that out. Let's straighten out yesterday's audit. Let's straighten out last week's audit. I mean, the items are wrong and so forth. Every item is wrong. Of course, this reason you will have errors. Well, if the GPM, what is the error? Is that a wrong goal there? Is that a this? You find yourself just sitting in there, gorgeous. Fox, what is happening? What is the score at this point? There are a number of possibilities. One of those possibilities is right. And that's what I mean by the best of glory, but I'm swinging out from the side rope. There it is. Meter goes flat. This is certainly easy. Da 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 da. To cough lightly, so on, so on, so on, well, so on, so on, so on.
No, really. We keep going with this plan, but there's no.
We gotta find out what's wrong or what's wrong. Some kind of a blunder has been made. There's an error somewhere. That's the Ventura. At that point, you wouldn't think, do I see the government flying back to the tower? Or should I see the government flying back? I think it says in the book, I have forgotten. Here's the idea. It's not the time to do it. There's a time and a place for everything. And learning the fundamentals of art. In Devil's Level 6 co-op is not the time or the place to learn audio. Any more than being out there on the highway with an oil truck coming over the hill at 60 miles an hour and a howling hurricane is the time to learn some driving. You follow that? Well, they've done this pretty well at the Level 6 co-op now. Great extent. There's only been two or three little errors from hitting forward when I should have stopped. Go on, hoping, somehow or another, hoping it will all turn out right. And this is the only difference between level 6 and any other kind of audience.
further you go, the less you're going to stop lying. The further you go past an error, the less righteousness occurs. That's different. The other body, you can go past an error and it will turn out right. At level 6, it only turns out the wrong person. That's the difference. So your thought processes with regard to what we just keep on going, it will sooner or later be used. Do not try to level 6. It will not sooner or later be used at all. It will sooner or later become worse, and then it will become worse, and then it will become worse better. In fact, it gets downright uncomfortable. Now, where and what does this mean? This means, then, that the attitude toward audience is first and foremost question. That attitude has got to be a very relaxed, I know my tools, here we go. And then you take care of the best of all. But there are plenty of them. They come out there. Sometimes they come out in full convoy. There's one, then there's one, then there's one, then one. Very well in practice handling the one. But you only handle them if you've already come on. Now, if you're introducing them to a technique, auditing errors, and there's only one instance of this, right? Now, sufficient to cause it to stop 30 meters. And you just have 30 meters. L1 would be the proper key to find that dirty needle. Only one instance. Now, what does this mean? It means we've actually, by and large, throughout the level 6 co-audit, accomplished very well the job of bringing about a relaxed attitude for the basic co-audit. Because everybody there is worried. Of course, there is force in their right here. Force on several other things. All of those reflect only one thing. All of them, uniformly. They just reflect the bed for glory. That's all these things that folks talk about. They just talk about bed for glory, flying, helicopters, whatever. They have an entire attention for the other attitudes of auditing. Now, if I were to ask a similar question to the lower level students at this moment of difficulties you were having in the session, I would get all kinds of odd tips about the E that won't tune in on Tokyo. Get the idea that there's none of that reflection for the always damn dead for glory. GPM apparently moved in from earlier and made the PC so thick and was trying to vomit. It was something of great concern in the mind of the auditor, but comment in passing that that was an awful close cut. So we surmounted that difficulty. But that is the attitude and state of mind. But I don't want to tell them that. Better get that idea to be back to you from. Now, what they did do, and this was a level 6 fault, what they did do, now let's get down to fundamentals, is right at first, they didn't realize the temporary alertness and the momentary alertness of the reading. That was their difficulty. The only big group that started running in, and actually they hadn't restrained them, so you can't say that it's a big group. Now, they always in the past expected items to go on reading ad nauseum. They read till a TA goes out 8 seconds later. Now, one of the things you're supposed to be doing is flattening the TA, and they didn't realize that you flatten the process called item 4 is flattened something on the order of about 5 or 6 seconds, 8 or 9 seconds. This would ordinarily encompass, I don't know, $100, $200, $300 of equivalent audio. It goes so fast it doesn't even register on the TA, except there's one blowdown. If you were to study this, you would find out that there was a tremendous number of up-downs and blowdowns which could see the meter rate. It's happening outside the perimeter of the body. The body is not connected. And the amount of stuff that is blowing there is rather fast. But it blows quite quickly, and they were not at all. They were not at all prepared with their years of grind on feces and so forth to have something go. And so their eye was not prepared to see it. Feces would say it, and they would hear the feces say it, and then look at their meter and call it to see if it said. Well, I caught this way every once in a while. Somebody, think of the item so as to write it down. Then come back to get it to read. You develop a sort of a wall eye. The truth of the matter is, an auditor's left eye ought to be walled outward slightly. And you just think, you didn't have the position right on the sonar. You come back to look at your meter again, and you have to adjust your sonar. You really don't even notice yourself adjusting your sonar. You just bring it back on the meter. There it is, lying all over against the pin over here. Well, something must have read. The evidence is there that something must have read. And they were not at all prepared to have the meter blow up and then be unblowable. Because, of course, once something is gone, it is wind. And to come back and try to knock this thing around in some semblance of flow or go was their main problem. Now, how did we make this reading? It's something about the life Perry has lived, and that was a long time ago. Now, how do we get Perry back in order to have him make a speed? It's a problem of this kind, an unsolvable problem. Because he's gone, man. He isn't going to be back. He's been living some other life for some time. So what do we got here? We've got a situation, man, where it read, it's gone. And now the auditor comes into his job of auditing to get his reads so that he can mark them on his auditor report. And of course, they're gone. Now, he assumes something is wrong. He's quite correct. Quite correct. But he never guessed at first when he was tagged into this thing. Never guessed that what was wrong and it wasn't that. He didn't immediately pick this up as the reason why. He guessed everything else. In this case, a lot of people. Well, what is this? Did you suspect it? Did you this? Did you tell it? Did you tell it? Have you worried about it? Is there bypass charge here someplace? Do we have an ART break? Well, after a while, you're sure going to have an ART break, man, because you're cleaning, not just a rudiment. You're cleaning, on an item, a great big raw RI, which you very easily could have spent, approached otherwise. Could have spent maybe 100 hours running the service facsimiles off of, and even then never discharged them, don't you think? So you see, the auditor training expects just one of these being polished up would furnish maybe 4, 25, 50 hours of auditing easily, don't you think? You can make practically a lifetime profession out of one of these guys. And so forth, and it would still be there, and happily reading, and see it better, the loss would be gone, the consideration would have been spent, and there would be the main guy. Well, you say a tragic name, and it's like the black magician. You go the artist is never credited with the system. That was the third principle. And that was speed of detection of reads. So, good tip, you better increase your speed of detection of reads. And learn to see a meter, needle, flick, even when you are not looking at it. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? And yet, you know, I went over to the top and analyzed it and found out it was reasonable. I don't think a meter needle can flick in my opinion without my seeing it. I can even start looking at a paper in the drawer. I had never recognized the strange response. Because I can remember when I did that. So I've gone over this problem. Why did we need this? Well, we need the strange it's almost how far off and how, when can you see a place? You can get some kind of wild thrill. I'm talking about thrills like this. You're holding it sideways. And the person has to look this direction and the post holds the meter over here out of his line of vision and clicks by some twitch or a tap of a one-hand electrode which is undetectable by the tube. And of course the meter goes past and the tube then has to say bend. You have to be able to see anything out of his line of vision. You have to be able to look straight at the post and see it when it reads. So that any time it is read, you know it is read. So that was a mission tip of training that you could have done.
Blowdown. But do you know that that's an adequate blowdown? That is a blowdown.
We can't expect you to more blowjobs than that. I don't know what you want. You can't be here with Christmas and Santa Claus. See what I mean? That's a blowjob. So, didn't recognize that probably you have to make a call. Okay. Whether you move to CA or not, that's a blowdown. And remember that the C-Fuel now plant has the next item for mass cause, and so naturally the people will come back up again. So here is this situation, yeah, of a photon where you pull it back up with the people, yes. But you know, that's going to get back up again within the next 2 seconds at the earliest, and certainly within the next half minute. You're going to have lost that blowdown. That blowdown is now gone. What's wiped out by the fact the needle is clanging? And in actual fact, because of the low running characteristics of some needles and so forth behaving, you can actually sit there with your TA at about 4. And all you get is needle fresh, and you could actually turn in at the end of session no tone arm divisions read for the session. In other words, it's you're getting blowdowns, you're getting dial-wide falls. You got tremendously active needle, don't you see? And yet by some oddity and so forth, it manages to stay between those two limits of the left and right of the needle phase. And yet there it is, traveling back and forth at 0.2 down and 0.2 up and 0.2 down and 0.2 up. And if you get a 0.2 down and a 0.2 up every 30 seconds, what do you think this is going to add up to at the end of 2.5 hours? So when you talk about it blew down, 0.2 is very adequate as a blowdown. But it doesn't even have to be set on the tone arm to be a blowdown. It's just whether or not the needle went over from somewhere in the vicinity of rise to somewhere towards test and didn't come back. Now, of course, we're dealing in half-dial distances. Falls a half-dial. Oh, that's a nice read. It's also a nice blowdown. You see that? So not only is there the eye alertness to this, but there's the understanding that if you were to sit there and not observe your needle and not return it to set, that you actually could get blowdowns and rises and blowdowns and rises while all this was going on. You might have had 2 consecutive blowdowns on the item and the bring about and so forth. The PC looks up to see, I wonder if that would bring about. You got that, see? You've got the other, see? You've got everything there. And now you come down to do your work as an auditor. You've had the whole thing by this time, you see. Now you're going to go to work to get this item to read. You're going to dig a hole that's already been dug. And you'll stick your shovel into it, and it'll hit air, and you plow around, and you try to find some, and nothing is... Well, it's all happened. Now, you shouldn't go into the mystery of did it happen or didn't happen. You should know whether it happened or didn't happen. And that is training in seeing this action and an understanding of what a blowdown is in terms of needle behavior. And we'll have to pick that up a bit. It'll make auditors a lot happier. That's the main one that we ran into, by the way. All right. Because this brings about harassment. It brings about harassment like crazy. And that's to believe a PC. I mean, right with that, believe a PC when he tells you something, he gives you some data and so forth. We'll give some credence to it. Don't just roll him under and throw him away. You very soon can tell from your meter behavior and your PC phenomena whether or not that was a bum pitch. He says it blew. See, all right, you say, good. I've never broken a PC. ARC broke a PC as heavily, as insisting something hasn't blown when it has. There's only 2 categories. The PC said that is the item, and you say, no, it is not. And if it is, the PC's skull explodes in fragments in all directions. Of course, this is bypass charge like crazy.
And the other one is, the PC says it's his item and it's gone, and he's already got it, and that's it, and the read is off, and so forth. And you say, well, no, it isn't. I've got to really see this thing read before. Maybe you saw it read, man, but your eye wasn't on it. Read. Those are the difficulties that you run into. You should be able to tell then within the next item or two if that was a fib. You should be able to tell by the next item if that was a lie, because the next item won't do well, and you're certainly going to run into pain in the very next item after that if that wasn't true. In other words, he says it's blue, and it's gone, and he felt a wave of heat, and you sit there in a knuckleheaded way and say, well, no, I didn't see it read. I got to see it read on the meter and so forth, when there was every probability that it did read on the meter, but you didn't see it. Well, the easy thing to do is say okay and put in the remaining of your steps and go on to the next item. See if that reads. See if you run into any trouble. I never interfere with a happy running PC. My God, you never saw such a permissive session. He could say the ceiling was on the floor and I'll buy it. Just run. PC gets into trouble. I don't also have the satisfaction of saying, well, it's your own fault. I don't use that. But there it is. There it is. The PC said it was green cheese and didn't look like it to you. Well, now at that point, I don't say, no, it is not, and that is that, and you're up, rah, 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 and chop the PC up. Don't do that, see? No, I just park one in the bullpen over here, and it's going to stay in the bullpen until I'm sure everything is all right. I played a little song to myself. It may be so. I really don't know. The story sounds so queer, but we will go on from this point. We won't wreck the session at this point. Let's go on from this point and see what happens in the next item or two. What happens? As long as it's according to the plot, I know it should be, and so forth. Well, I'll just go right along with this, see? All of a sudden, that packs up. I know what's wrong. It's that item, see? So I'll go back and straighten it out. But I never straighten anything out until it's wrong. I never try to prevent trouble beyond running the pattern that should be there. Now, I never anticipate trouble or dream that there will be any trouble. I sit there and run a trouble-free session as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, it's all going to run perfectly for the next 2.5 hours. It's all going to run perfectly, and there's not going to be any trouble. I don't postulate that because I'm always would be wrong. You see, there's going to be plenty of Bedford lorries in the next 2.5 hours. See? But I just say, my attitude is, well, it's all going to run all right, and so forth. It's definitely true that it will all come out all right. I know that. I don't run it from the viewpoint of I'm trying to prevent trouble. Now, let's see how much trouble I can prevent from this PC. Now, I run it from the viewpoint, well, there isn't going to be any trouble unless it arises. And then if it arises, it arises as trouble. I don't buy spurious trouble. It's got to be trouble. See, like there's been no heat for the last 4 items, you know. This thing is reading about a fifth of the dial. But the needle goes over and springs back. Now I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. I'm liable not to do anything very desperate about it, though, if the PC is happy and running on without somatics, but I'm in trouble. I'll wait now for the lightning to strike. And then as soon as it strikes, get very, very busy. But I'm liable to wait for the lightning strike. Even so, I've got an indicator in front of my face that says I ought to raise hell, but I don't raise hell. You understand? Nothing's happened yet. PC sitting there running, and that's all I'm trying to do. I'm not running a meter, I'm running PC, you see? PC sitting there happily dealing out items and everything. It's fine, he's getting reads and he's stopped and so forth. And I am getting some of my blow down and it's running all right. And so on, and it's running okay. There's a spring that comes in there once in a while, and it doesn't look like those blowdowns are sticking and that sort of thing. Well, all I am is I just located where the life preserver locker was. See? I didn't take any further action than that. I said, well, let's see, where's the life preserver? spotted us about here.
And I didn't get any reaction that I saw on that X step. But the PC's happy and cheerful. Everything's fine. Well, my job is to get charge off the case. Charge is coming off the case. So I only sit there and argue just about so long about would a blah blah bring about a blah blah, see? Oh, yes. I'll go so far as to say, well, has that bring about been suppressed? I might go so far as to say, is that correct bring about? Little spurt. Incorrect bring about. Spurt. Correct bring about spurt. Incorrect bring about spurt. What the hell goes on here? What the hell goes on if I was doing that with a happy running PC is the PC is protesting my hanging up at that point. And I'm starting to read protests out of the reads, don't you think? So you see, if I did this way, let me show you this now. Putting in the next step, so far, from the second part of the X step, and see if it, I say, has that been suppressed? That's just a little profanity, then. Didn't get any read. PC said, well, yes, we would bring it about. Now, there are two paths I can take from this crossroads. And path one is to say, cheerily, all right, give me the next item. That's path one. No bad indicators. There's nothing wrong, except you just didn't get that. Well, you made it loud and clear on your notes, but you didn't make it loud and clear to the PC. See, that's step one. And you just tell him to go on. Now, there's two, pathway two. And pathway two, did you say, has that been suppressed? Oh, have you invalidated that bring about? Are you invalidating I was here? You know, I didn't get a bring about read with worry to PC. I didn't get a bring about. I never worry a PC with a meter, by the way. I didn't get a bring about read. So forth. Has that bring about been suppressed? Validated? Well, would it bring it about? Have you seen that it would bring it about? Oh, it has, huh? Well, let's see. Has this bank been suppressed? Have we? Let's do a little assessment here. All right. Would bypass any charge on any items? That's road two. Road two is only taken when you already can't take road one. When you can't take road. In a sense, can't take road one, you take road two. You don't immediately go rabbiting into road two when road one is wide open. You understand? This is a detour system. There's no detour sign across road one, which is just go on with the cheerful good indicators carrying on. If there's no detour sign across that, such as PC sitting there scowling, and he's had an agony of some kind or another, someplace or another, and he can't seem to do this, and you can't persuade the PC to give you the next item, and his attention seems to be stuck somewhere. You know, I'm talking about a detour sign. You know, crash! Detour sign. Bedford Lorry, you see, has just come swinging in from an empty side road that you just a moment ago could look down 3 miles and see not a thing on. And my God, a Bedford Lorry came out of it, see? Where did it come from? If you haven't got anything barring you from taking road one, you take it. It's always the choice road. The only reason you go into, have I missed an item, have I missed a charge, is this suppressed, is that, let's do an ARC fake assessment. All right, let's see if we can get the instructor over here, see if he can handle this thing. Handle what thing? You know what you're handling? You're handling the avoidance of a wide open road one. Got that. See, you know, I was driving down through Texas one time. Texas is a very interesting place to drive. More accidents happen in Texas than anywhere. And the lights of Van Horn, Texas, can be seen for 35 miles and they're seen so clearly 35 miles away that you're sure it's the taillight of a car 4 or 5 feet in front of you. So you keep slowing down to let the car get ahead of you or try to pass the car. It's quite interesting. The situation there is that you're battling with this trouble you don't have, see? And you keep fighting with this trouble, this car that is in front of you, that you can't pass and that won't draw away from you. And you find their lights 35 miles away, and that there was a wide open, single-track, high-speed highway between them and you. And in the dark black velvet of a Texas night, it's very, very easy to make this peculiar error. You've got a wide open road. And sometimes in driving in that state, which, by the way, when you cross it and so forth, you cross the rest of the United States in a couple of days and spend 3 days crossing Texas, you know. And when you get into that, and you get so bored with just driving, you see, or something like this, that you'll keep it up, usually longer than you should, and you'll start hallucinating. Barns move across the road in front of you, and you see non-existent automobiles. And one night I was barning through there, and I had every reason to be hallucinating. Because putting in a racing car from one end of the United States to the other end of the United States at a time when it wasn't supposed to be very doable, did it in 5 days and 4 nights. This is fairly rapid for that period of time. It was in an Auburn supercharge. And about the time I was ready to leave Texas, not having had any sleep at all, a cattle guard, complete, with sign, watch out for cattle, complete with guy wires, everything under the sun, including cattle, suddenly appeared across the road ahead of me. Why, I must have taken off a half an inch of rubber off of those tires stopping that car because its gates were closed. I thought this was very peculiar because I never saw a cattle guard before with gates. I pried my eyelids open. By God, it disappeared, and I suddenly realized I couldn't possibly have seen it anyway because it was at midnight and there were no lights around. I decided I had enough and pulled off to the side of the road and caught myself 20 minutes. You understand? I mean, so an auditor can very easily see these barns and horses and things like that on the highway straight ahead of him when they don't exist. And do a hasty detour into all sorts of wild actions. He thinks he has seen this fantastic difficulty when it isn't there. There is no difficulty. He's just nervy, don't you see? He's feeling nerved up and tense and so on. The PC's going on, perfectly willing to give him the next item. You're getting your reads. Everything is going on, actually, all right. The heat is on and the PC's cogniting and so forth. And all of a sudden, the auditor misses a read, or something happens here, and he doesn't get his BA follower, or his locational follower. He doesn't get one of these steps. He gets no reaction from it at all. And he doesn't assign it to the fact that he just might have been asleep at the switch at that particular moment. No, he sees this imaginary cattle fence. He sees this imaginary thing across the road in front of him, and he starts finding it, and it doesn't exist. And he's very embarrassed after a while because there wasn't anything there. Well, it's all right to be nervous, but not nervous to the point of hallucination. As long as the PC will go on and you can get items to read and get heat on and so on, as long as the PC is any good indicator that you're in, at all, why, keep going, man. Keep going. Don't go seeing all kinds of wild things appearing in your vicinity and so forth when they're not there. Don't run in a detour when the road is wide open in front of you. Don't make trouble when it isn't there. You've heard me say it in other wises, but this is the peculiar one. The imaginary cattle guard, you know, the imaginary barn, the imaginary detour sign, you know, are all brought about because an auditor is trying to prevent future trouble. Well, never try to prevent future trouble in R6.
It's impossible. Just thank who art in heaven that it's all going along fine just now. Realize that the roof is probably going to fall in tomorrow. But as long as it's okay, right where you are, right at the moment you are running it, run it. Thank your stars, see? Hey, what do you know? There's a stretch of road up in front of me a whole mile with no rocks on it. Wow. Of course, I can understand how you get into a state of mind of... I'm very suspicious of it. It's the first road I've seen that didn't have any rocks on it. Must be something wrong here. Haven't had an accident for items. Now, the thing to do is you want to run into real trouble. When you run into real trouble, why, don't go on. When you got real trouble, don't go on. Well, what's real trouble? Well, the heat turns off, and you can't get good reads on your meter, and your PC is nattery, and you've got a stuff that's going to blazes, and you can't seem to make out what's going on. Some sort of an argument involved in this sort of thing. Can't make things work. So that's trouble. That's trouble. Well, let's find out why. If there isn't any trouble, don't bother to find it out. You see, you're quite as liable to have missed the read. It's almost a 50-50 shot, unless you've got a highly trained eye, which you require, of course. It's just as likely you missed the read as that it didn't happen. It's almost a 50-50 flip of the coin. It's also, this kind of thing happens. You might have been laggardly while you were scribbling something down and adjusting the set of the needle. And the read has already occurred with the needle over against the pen. It read, but it didn't register. See, other things can occur here beyond the PC going wrong. So you never bring it up to the PC that he's going all wrong before it is obvious he's going wrong, and those indicators are picked up from no reads on the items. He sat right there, and it didn't read on the items. Now, it isn't good enough that he ran them out on you, but he didn't run them out. He must have sat there kind of flinched, suppressing them. Well, you better take the suppress off of the session that was just run. You understand? Because it isn't running all right then. You're not getting your meter reads. And what it requires is to break the thing down to the essentials of what you have to have in order to run this. You've got to have reads, good indicators, heat, and a resurgence of case. You don't necessarily have to have wild, stunning cognitions. But these are the things you deal with. PC's state of mind, his mood. Don't ever run a glum PC, man. Don't ever run a glum PC.
PC's in there. Slightly cotton. Slightly cotton. Dead. No cotton. That thing about no cotton. Quiet cotton.
Good indicator is gone. That PC apparently isn't running. He's running without cognition. So forth. Well, how... Let's add this up now. Let's equate this. Would that be enough all by itself to slam on the brakes? Well, it's one of these bullpen things. It's just the data in the park of the bullpen. He isn't running very good, is he? Let's compare it to the other things you've got before we start driving madly into road two. Compare it to the other things we've got. What else have we got here? We've got a meter. We got heat. There's two things. Right there. Well, is your meter reading nicely and blowing down when he gives you those items in that tone of voice? You ask him, is the heat on? Yeah, I'm burning up. Mm-hmm. Well, you never run a PC who is being real gloomy. Now, get this straight. You never run a PC who is being real gloomy without tying it in to the other things that are happening. And it doesn't cause you to stop auditing. It causes you to start looking. You heard a rattle of gravel up some side road. Something going to come charging out of there in a couple of seconds? Herd of sheep? You know? What was that? You just noticed in there the PC is running. Well, fine. All right. You've got two other things immediately that you can check on. You know one of those. Is this meter needle thrashing around? Are we getting blowdowns on these things? Those DA steps going in and so forth? Yep. All right. We fast PC. How's the heat? Well, at that moment, we don't know what he's in. We don't care what he's in. And if he's in it, it doesn't mean a damn thing. He's probably going through that point of the trap or a particular zone that he has dramatized very heavily over a long period of time. And he will eventually come up with a weird cognition with regard to this sort of thing. And he's trying to kind of fight his way through the thing. And it was all sort of overwhelming anyway. Well, I'll work out the process of auditing. But the heat was on, the meter was reading. We're not going to do anything about that, man. We're not going to do anything about this. Except, like the gopher comes up out of his hole, you know. He looks all around. Right quick. PC's running gloomy. How's that meter running? See? How's your heat?
Good.
All right. Everything's running okay. Yes. That's all you do about it. You don't do anything else, man. Now, all of a sudden, the PC's meter trade items. The stone arm's going up. Items aren't reading. And he was doing a gloom. How's the heat? Oh, it's off now. Oh my God, you walked into a 5-star emergency, you see, without anything, but you knew there might be something coming up. Well, let's find out now what is wrong. Let's now take road 2. Now, if the heat is off, that's a good enough reason to take some action. The action is usually has been suppressed. Yeah, I was getting too hot a while ago. I just happened to remember I was getting too hot. Oh, yeah? All right, how's the heat now? That's fine. All right, let's not go back and run the heat off all the items we've gone by. Not doing anything silly. That's your total action. Meter not reading. Tone arm going up. You're only getting a little... That's about the most dangerous thing there is. That's something you're looking at. Something you can see is happening there. There's something awful wrong here. There's something awful wrong. Now that one you'd catch right away because you're not getting reads. So you never go beyond a non-functioning meter. Not a meter where you're occasionally missing the read, don't you see? But a non-functioning meter. Never go beyond a non-functioning meter. Never. And never go beyond heat. Shut off. At that point, you do something. Heat, the only easy thing to do is simply ask them if it's been suppressed. Heat specifically responds to midroots, oddly enough, as a subject. You could ask almost any homo sap walking down the street, have you suppressed any heat lately? And he'd light up like a torch. Quite interesting. I mean, it's just a reflex. He tends to suppress it. you don't want to go beyond that, because that's too big a bad indicator. That's too big to go beyond. And you don't want to go beyond a chronically non-functioning meter. Meter just not functioning in a way, of course, close to in the textbook. And the odd part of it is it must function according to the textbook. There aren't any variabilities. You think there are, but there aren't. And it's not functioning, so that's it. Now we'll have to do something. Now we've done something. But those are really the only two things where you really have to head into road two. And when they both occur simultaneously, or one shortly after the other, and so forth, why, you're in a good red flag emergency. My God, you looked down, the water was up to your ankles, and you didn't even know that you were going to sea yet, practically, and here's the water up around your ankles. I mean, horrible things have happened in the meantime. What has occurred? Well, really, your next mistake is for you to assume you know. That's your next big mistake. For you to assume that you know what's wrong. That's your big mistake you make in studying. You assume you know what you're studying before you study it. Therefore, you don't learn it. This is more than that. I wish I could tell you about that. I will one of these days give you a talk on that subject. I was practically splitting my sides open the other day on what I've discovered about your beginning attitude, the beginning attitude of a student at St. Hill. One of the reasons why he has a rough time with bulletins, I think. Some interesting things. I've got a big subjective reality out by studying another subject, and I laugh. But your big lesson is that to know what is wrong just as far as this. There's no further than something is wrong. Know what is important to be wrong, and then just know something is wrong, and then be willing to find out what is wrong. And that is the sequence of approach to this subject. And it is a deadly, deadly error for you to immediately assume you know what's wrong. Because I have often, and I have practically never been right. It'd always be something else that you didn't quite suspect. So what you want to do is realize that when the meter isn't functioning, and when heat is off, that these, either one of those or both of those is an indicator, a bad indicator of such magnitude that you must take road two. That's the cattle guard. Be damned, man. That's no hallucinatory cattle guard, brother. That's a great big iron set of gates. Straight from Birmingham. That's no hallucinatory tree down across that highway. That is a 300-year-old oak, branches complete. That road is shut. Crash. Unfortunately, there's a detour. Now is the time to take the detour. And the way to take the detour is to know you should take the detour, and then don't assume you know where the detour is going. Because 95% of the time, at least, you'll be wrong, and all you'll do is ARC break the PC. So what do you have to know to take a detour? You have to know that the main road is shut. What shuts it? Lead pipe cinch. The meter isn't operating. Or heat is off. Either or. Or both. Well, that shut the road. Hardly anything else shuts the road. My God, do you think I'd pay any attention to somebody coming into session with a terrible PT problem that he has to have handled before he can go on being audited? You think I'd handle that with level 6? You really think I'd pay much attention to this? I'd say, oh, yes, yes, mm-hmm,
Good. Thank you. Now, where were we yesterday when we laid off here? Yeah, I know, but she was tearing around at Tavalaklaw, just at the highway, and that sort of thing. I said, what's the next item here? What's the next item that we were looking for? Yes, it's that. I said, I got that. I'm looking for the reason for it. Oh, you said, yes? What was the last item we left you in? Oh, it was so-and-so. Now, what's the next item to that? And he said, what? Come think about it. Strip naked. I say, good. Is that your item? All right, that's your item. Okay, fine. Fine, good. Give me the next one. He said, you know, I was so... And I say, yeah, all right, good. I'm glad you got hold of that. All right, I'm glad you... Okay, give me the next item. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Yeah, don't pay any attention to this sort of thing, man. Acknowledge it, sure. Give it the business, sure. But holy cats, you're running the very stuff of which this person makes present time problems. He's even got an N-word devoted exclusively to them. You gonna key this one in? Nah. Answer up cheerily. Keep PC in session. Keep your basic comm cycles in. But don't start a new comm cycle like, yes, tell me about the problem. Oh, God, now you have done it. So you see, that's not a barrier. Present time problem isn't any barrier across the road. They haven't got the road blocked. PC has a somatic. That's not a barrier across the road. That's just something you put over here in the bullpen. He's got a somatic. Wonder what happened? We better keep our open and make sure our other things are in. And maybe if we've got a half an hour at the end of the session, we're not starting a new GCM, I might do a little scout on it if it's still there. And that kind of thing, you know. But we can keep our eye open. We may have missed something. We're not quite sure what we've missed, but we may have missed something. Give me the next item. Good. Blow down. That's your item. So far, we still got the somatic. Oh, we haven't got the somatic. We'll dismiss the whole thing. I didn't barrier any highway, see? DC's terribly dopey. I didn't barrier any road. Step on the accelerator. DC's feeling terribly sick. Well, I'd say, yeah, if you were finding your own goals on this lineup and so forth. Ooh, be alert. Doesn't mean anything except he's had a wrong goal and placed a right goal and it's made him sick. We don't care what made him sick. Running down a pre-run plot, for heaven's sake. It's not wrong, it's right. So he pulls stuff into present time. So he's got stuff ahead of it and behind it and around it and so forth. The thing to run is it. Made him sick? All right, that doesn't bury any road. So he sits there and chucks his cookies as he gives you the items. That doesn't bury the road, man. PC won't talk to you. PC won't give you the item. PC won't cooperate. PC won't act to continue. Boo. That's three cattle guards and two barns. Actual ones. You've got something wrong. PC's trying to stop the session. Never force a PC to go on where the PC won't. Never. Never. He's trying to stop the session, all right, for some reason why he's trying to stop it. He's not trying to stop it. You know, don't say it's covertly stopping the session. Don't stretch a bow here. And I say stopping a session, it's putting a brick wall across the progress of the session. It's not saying there might be a brick wall across the thing, see. He's trying to stop the session. He won't give you the next item. He won't go further in this. Or he is talking to you obsessively about something or other. He's cognizing obsessively. He's trying a new system here.
See, for he hasn't really got rid of that last item yet. Just a minute. I've got more cognition. Well, hell, the period of cognition on one of these items is something on the order of about 15 seconds. It doesn't stay around long enough to cognite on. That's right. How'll you cognite on a nothing? So he's cogniting much further than any expectancy of cognition, and he's doing this rather consistently. We assume he's trying to stop the session. We don't accuse him of this, and so forth, but we realize at this moment that something is dead wrong here. The PC's trying to stop the session. Recognize when the PC's trying to stop the session. That's the thing to do. Recognize it. And when the PC is trying to stop the session, did you ever see a passenger press on the emergency brakes with... You ever see somebody riding in a car with you and you all of a sudden make too sharp a stop or you're going too fast and so forth, see them push their feet down on the floorboards? Well, PC's trying to get his feet down on the floorboards. That's something that got him real nervy here. He's trying to stop. You know, I never yet found this to be invalid. This is always correct. There's always a reason why it had better damn well stop. And you'll be sorry if you go on every time. Every confounded time the PC's trying to stop that session. Because the progress of the bank and the way the thing is lined up and the way it rolls and so forth, his attention would just normally be caught up in the items and just carried on forward like going over Niagara Falls without a battle. He's practically powerless to stop. Therefore, there must be something very wrong here. In other words, PC refusing to go on. Now I consider something is wrong. PC refusing to have auditing. PC not wanting auditing. So forth. These I would consider to be big, great, big cattle guards constructed 100% detour signs saying federal departments of no work. See, I'd consider those big. So we only got three here now, haven't we? We've got a non-functioning meter. We've got not one that you just miss and read on occasion. We've got a non-functioning meter. We've got a PC who is running cold, not hot. And I do mean just cold. Or he's not running with any heat. And that's a minor one. We can turn that back on, but there's always a reason for it. We mustn't go on without finding it, because we mean the charge isn't being blown. And the other thing is the PC has got both feet pressed down in some fashion or another, and he doesn't want auditing, he doesn't have any desire whatsoever to go out and find the next item. He won't give you the item and so forth. It's getting into a ball up here of some kind. The PC won't move. You're presented one way or another with the same thing the Spaniard is often presented with when he is trying to get a mule train going forward. And there's no sense in building fires and using clubs. You better find out what's wrong. And doggone, you start looking, you will always find the path is out. You'll find something was wrong. To your great embarrassment, sometimes you may find that it's administrative error that you've started to give the PC, you say, give me the item, so and so, something like this, and then all of a sudden, like, he's got the brakes on, he doesn't know why, and you don't know why, and you're stopping and can't go the session on. Well, I wouldn't use any of my ability to persuade or anything else to make that PC go forward. I just start looking right away to find out what's wrong. I just turn right off the road, right on road two. Bumpity bumpity bump. There we go. Let's find it. Sooner we do, the quicker we're away. Pocket it, pocket it, pocket it, pocket it, pocket it. And then we suddenly realized to our embarrassment that we were starting him on GPM-3 when we should have been starting him on GPM-4. We'd already run it. Embarrassing. Maybe something gone, something wrong, something wrong. You know, I don't know any other reason to take road two. To do anything else other than audit. Those are the things that have to be present, exclamation point, to make you do anything else other than just go right on down the line. Those three, what are they? Very important. Meter not functioning. Heat not turning on. PC refusing to go on. I don't know of another reason why I would turn off into two.
That he hurts? Poof!
So what?
Even that he feels rather griefy or very sad or something like this. He's still evidently perfectly willing to go on, don't you think? He just says, yeah, go on. Meter's reading all right. He's turning on heat and so forth. It's okay. Must be okay. He's not refusing to go on. Now, if he feels sad and he's refusing to go on, over with that wheel, man. Right down there, on the road too. All right, now let's find out what about this. What's all this about? We got too early, too late, so on. Is it that we missed some charges? So on. Is it this? There's the other thing. Just very effectively and very efficiently going right to the root and finding out what the hell is wrong, even down to the point, or is it because there is nothing wrong? And right on down the whole works, and give him the works. Preconceiving that I know what's wrong will get him in more trouble than you can shake a stick at. I don't know what's wrong, but I know this much about what's wrong. I know that something is wrong, and I also know that I don't know what's wrong until I find out. And if you can learn those, gee, you can steer a fast PC. Now you're really traveling. Now you're getting up around, hitting it with a ton. See, if you're driving like that, you're making a ton all the way. There is no 10-mile-an-hour pace on this road. It's all right, warming up and getting started and so forth. There is no 10-mile-an-hour. There isn't a type of auditing whereby we drive down this wide-open 12-pass highway with no other cars on it. We drive down this wide-open highway at 10 miles an hour, stopping every once in a while to make sure all the wheels are on. There is no such auditing. There's two roads. You go down one at a ton, and the other one is a bumpy side road, and we take it only when the other one was closed. I told you what closes the other one. Now, how fast do we open up and get back on the high road again? When we have found out everything is wrong, and we've got the difficulty that we were encountering gone. In other words, he had the heat off, we now have the heat on. See, it's simple as that. It didn't matter how long it took you to turn it off. There's some reason why this heat went off. Perhaps we could go deeper into it or shallow into it. But we're going to resume driving when we have got the thing turned on that was turned off. And now we're going to resume driving. That's how fast we're going to resume driving. Meter turned off. Well, let's find out what it's all about. How come this meter turned off? And we're going to keep at that. That's a lengthier job. We're going to keep at that until we've got all the reasons the meter turned off. We got them all exhausted. Wonderful. I did a whole assessment not very long ago and then found out that the unreality of what was really wrong had been missed in the first couple of questions. And it wasn't until I got to the end of it and got the charge off and came back the first couple of top questions that I found out what was really wrong. But actually, the bad indicators were still present and the road was still shut at the time when I went over and started to go over the ARC brake again. It was still shut, so I just started over it again. Two questions from the top, a question that hadn't read when I went by it the first time, now read like crazy because PC's reality and cognition level was up to a point where you could see what was wrong. In other words, I found what was wrong, got the road open again, and went. See, that's the whole thing. It's positive. There is no 10-mile-an-hour pace. You don't have to go down this highway and every few minutes get out and find out if the exhaust pipes are still on the bottom of the car. Of course, I can see a tremendous degree that you naturally incline in this direction. When you first start driving this car, and one can be perfectly patient with that. Perfectly all right. But when it's right, you go. And when it's wrong, you don't go. Your perceptivity is recognition of what's wrong. And that's how come you're harassing PCs. That's the harass point. That's when you start harassing PCs, it's because you haven't got what I just gave you straight. Then you harass PCs. 100-mile-an-hour highway right in front of you, wide open. you're traveling at 10 and stopping frequently and looking for road 2, making sure that road 2 is handy, like a pilot flying an old airplane, always looking for a landing field until he gets to, you know, he's looking for an emergency landing field all the way to his destination. I think that covers, in essence, the difficulties that you're having. Not very much difficulty, is it? I think, by and large, that the level 6 co-audit is doing remarkably and wonderfully well. Only in those instances, those auditors that I have mentioned this, as I talked this, those auditors who were having this trouble, undoubtedly seen it with neon signs, that you don't keep going with your meter not functioning. See? You go back. The other cheery piece of news is that you can always rerun a bank. You don't know what's wrong with that bank. You say something's wrong with that bank. Well, rerun it. So that's the score with regard to these. You can rerun one of these banks. You know, of course, kind of like cleaning the clean. But if you've missed the heat and you haven't had reads for a while, and so well, we'll just go back up to where they turned up. Go a little bit above that. Start putting in your bring-about steps. Just get the PC to give you all the bring-about steps. That's good mental exercise. PC is sitting there. You know that a PC ought to have the ability to look at a plot, fit any goal to it, and call it off by sight? Accurately? With no flubs? So if you, the auditor, should only be able to have to say, give me the bring-about steps for that, so forth. And even though he's right in the middle of the thing, he ought to be able to say, well, if I'm down, let's bring about the bra, and then bring about the bra, and bring about the bra. He's sitting there, he hasn't got your notes. He's just got a blank form in front of him with all the blanks. He'll stagger and stutter once in a while, I mean, so. But that's perfectly all right. He should be able to call them out all the way down. That should be a skill he has. You better pick up that ability to do that. All right. That's everything I've got to tell you. And I think the level 6 audit is doing fine. And I would warn you, those of you that are coming up, learn to audit well enough so that it gives no attention to the steering wheel when you are actually trying to drive the car. Get to a point where that you can skip because you know it. And the other one is learn to read a meter, looking past it, beyond it, down, around, and so forth, still be able to read that meter, and then learn what a broad blowdown looks like on an untended needle pattern, I mean a needle behavior. Learn.